Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
All right. Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me. Turn over to page number 390. Page 390. And let's sing, There is Power in the Blood. All right, everyone sing now. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working. Sing the chorus again. There is prayer. CJ, would you pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Lord, we thank you that there is power in the blood. That's not just a song. That's not just something we do. Lord, it's our anthem. There's power in the blood. We're thankful for that. Changed my life. It changed the life of many of us staying in this church. Lord, we bow ourselves in this service over to you. We thank you, God, for you to serve and worship you here. In your name I pray. Amen.
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 And God is so good. God is so good. answers prayer now. He answers prayer. Does he, Chuck? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Here's the best part. He's coming soon. Sing that God is so good again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to Amen. If that don't start your fire tonight, your wood's wet. Amen. Amen. All right, choir, let's stand and sing that song tonight. To supply my every need, I lean on you. I've been on the mountain when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, my friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. The battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
That's the goal, isn't it? Lean on the Lord. Let me mention a couple of things before we finish up the message. You can go ahead and go to John chapter number 5. Like to have a time of prayer tonight at the conclusion of the service for our young people as they pack up their skis and all their gear and get ready to go on the ski trip. So just want to pray for a great time, a time of safety and Bible study whenever that takes place for the hearts to be open and receptive. So we'll pray at the end of the service for that. And next Sunday, either morning or night, we'll have a time of prayer as a church for Jubilee. And we had a time of prayer this afternoon. It was a short notice this morning, but we did meet this afternoon and have a time of prayer together. And we had a good time. And so remember that next Sunday, probably morning with a bigger crowd, we'll have a time of prayer. And then let's remember Miss Claudia Darby in prayer as she's at home under palliative care for her breathing. And so let's remember her. I haven't heard otherwise, but continue to remember her nephew, Kevin. Is it her nephew? Yeah, nephew Kevin, who's trying to recover from a stroke, I believe it was. And so let's remember him. Also, procedure correction. Brother Bobby McClendon, I misunderstood him. I thought it was March the 27th, but it's February 27th. And let's remember Brother Bobby's having a heart cath then, and that's about a week from now, roughly. And then Marianne Sanvey is going to be on the 22nd of March. So let's remember those things. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we will finish up the three-part message tonight on the healing of the impotent man. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we're not just saying it out of repetition, just empty words, but we are really thankful for who you are and how you work in our lives, God. Lord, the message that we started last Sunday night and mentioned this morning and going to finish tonight, there's a lot of ways it can be applied to our lives, but one of the main focuses is to just focus on those around us under the shadow of our steeple, Lord, who need your help. We know that the judgment of God is going to begin first at the house of God, and so, Lord, help us understand that and be about your business. Lord, start with me. As we get ready to go into Jubilee, Lord, revive me. Revive me. And the prayer is that others would be revived and refreshed. Revived and refreshed. We pray that you'd use, Lord, the message tonight, the next few moments, to be a help, to be a blessing to your people. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We, again, last Sunday night, we started looking at the healing of the impotent man. Just one miracle out of many that the Lord Jesus performed while he was here. And within those 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. And last Sunday night, we looked at the particular timing of this healing. And we know, according to verse number 1, it was during a feast time. Notice verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And so we see that there, that it was during a feast time. Most believe the feast of the Passover. So we mentioned some things then, last Sunday night, how that Jesus was taking great opportunity to perform this miracle in the midst of such a great crowd. And, of course, we related that to the communities in which we live. Wherever you do live at, you live in some kind of community, and how that our communities are filled with people. And everybody in our communities are in different places in their life. I'm not saying that everyone's lost in our communities, but there's a handful that are saved. But there are some lost who are searching, who are seeking deeper meanings in life or deeper meaning to life. And so we are to be about our Father's business and taking this great opportunity to heart and going and sharing the Lord while we have a chance. And this morning we looked at not only the particular timing of the healing, but we looked at, in part two, the place of the healing. The place. Verse 2 says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." We looked at this place, Bethesda. We looked at the sheep gate. We looked at the porches. And we know that the Bible says sheep market. The word market's in italics. And so we believe there's the sheep gate, which led to a market. Nonetheless, we know that sheep went in and were sold at the market, were used to be eaten, was used to be sacrificed. We looked at the pool itself, Bethesda, meaning the house of mercy. And this was a place that at a certain season, an angel would come down and stir the waters. And the first person that would get in those waters, they were healed. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And it's known as the house of mercy. And we mentioned this morning how that it would be great, it's needful to have some Bethesdas in our communities. Places where people can get in touch with the Lord. People can not so much be healed physically as God can do, but spiritually speaking can be healed, can receive salvation. We need some Bethesdas in our world, in our communities. We need more Bethesdas and not less. We talked about the porches and how that there were five porches connected to it. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that there were blind people there, there were halt people there, and withered people there. Now, whenever the water was troubled, the first one that got in was made whole, but there were some who couldn't really make it to the pool whenever the water was troubled. Some were blind, and they just they couldn't see their way there. Some were withered or halt or lame. The word halt there means lame. Some were lame. They couldn't make way there. Some were withered. They were absent of moisture in their bones. They were in the fetal position possibly. And so they could not go. And so we see that all these people occupied the porches. Some did make it there and were healed. Some struggled to get there and were healed, but others were not. More specifically, this impotent man that had his laying on of his bed in that area, somewhere on the porch for 38 years. And we used the illustration this morning that around Christmas time, when I looked in on the camera about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to check on the church, we seen the man on the front porch, and he was covered down to his ankles with some kind of mat, some kind of sheet, and all I seen was his work boots. And I tell you, that really did a number on me. To be outside experiencing those cold, cold temperatures like we experienced back at Christmas time. And so we literally have physical people on our porch. And Calvary Baptist Church is a type of Bethesda. It's a place where the gospel is preached, the gospel is stirred, and the goal is for the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, to be stirred, to make an act of faith and accept that salvation, or accept the fact that they can lean on the Lord and lay their burdens down. And so this morning we mentioned some things concerning the porches, the pool, and the market, or the sheep gate. Now tonight I want to wrap things up with the person who got healed. The person. Again, we talked about the particular timing of the healing. We talked about the place of the healing. And part three tonight is the person that was healed. So let's go ahead and read verse number 5 down through verse number 9. Verse 5 says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Kind of an odd question when you first look at it. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Tonight I want to deal with verses number 5 through 9. And this will conclude my 8 pages of notes. If there's anything I've learned with having so many notes, sometimes it's easy to get caught and lost in the notes. But if you're like me when you're studying or your time of devotion, there's so much coming to my head, I don't want to miss it. I write it down, I highlight it, and I like to use it whenever it comes to my mind. So I write it down, I use it. The person that was healed. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, this was a man with an infirmity for 38 years, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. The word infirmity is like the word, that same word we used, impotent. It means malady, sickness, weakness, or frailty. And so here we have a man with an infirmity for 38 long years. That's longer than a lot of people have been alive. While people are in his day growing up and going through the different seasons and years of their life and experiencing the joys of life, learning the ups and downs of life, there he was. He lay there 38 years. And let me just say that this man's legs probably didn't operate because of the statement he made in verse 7. Look in verse 7. "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." I say his legs probably didn't work because he is suggesting that he needed help to get there. And so we see that this man was disabled. His legs probably didn't operate because of this statement. And he was disabled. And so probably he used his arms. Think about this for a moment. I wonder sometimes where we get the word army crawl. Well, probably from the soldiers, right, when they're crawling. But I got to thinking about this man. If his legs didn't work and he tried to get down to that pool, he was using his arms. It's So he was really arm crawling. He was arm crawling. And the Bible says that I have no man to help me get there. But whenever I'm trying, whenever I'm crawling, I'm trying to get healed, I'm trying to be made whole, someone steps down before me. And so this man literally has been trying to be made whole for 38 long years. Again, he says in verse number 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." After Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" "I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, while I'm trying, while I'm struggling, someone comes, another steppeth down before me." So we see that this man, he was disabled. He was trying, but was for 38 years dealing with his infirmity. I wrote this note down. This man was so disabled that instead of his body being an instrument for his soul, his body was a prison for his soul. Or a burden for his soul. We go into the nursing home sometimes, assisted living home sometimes. Not long ago, I went to go see my dad in Roberta, Georgia. And you walk through those hallways, and it's impossible not to just look in the rooms. They're everywhere. You look, and there's someone here, there's someone there. And it's so sad because you look, and there's people in the fetal position. There's people just, you can tell they're struggling. They're on medication and all the rest of it. They are disabled. And while our bodies are to be an instrument for our souls, our minds tell us what to do. We have bodies to do them. Those people in the nursing homes and a lot of assisted living homes, their bodies are not an instrument for their soul, but their bodies are a burden for their soul. Don't you know those people want to get out? Think about Barbara Anderson down there, laying there. Don't you know she wants to get out? I know at least for the first year or two, my goodness, it's been a while now, hasn't it, Brother Brian? She was dealing with being in there. She was independent, as y'all know, came and went as she pleased. But then she was in there and then wanting to get out, struggling, just really seeing how this stroke really affected her, if she got any better or not. And to this very day, it doesn't look like there's much improvement, at least to my knowledge. And you know that she wanted to get out, and you know she still does. There is a great part of her that wants to get out. She has a body, and it's being a burden right now for her soul. But I will say, during this process, the Lord seemed fit to send her a lovely roommate, and come to find out, her roommate, this woman is the grandmother of a friend that used to go to church with us, actually over at Zion View, Harold Blacksmith. They go to Tabernacle now in Hiram. But it's a blessing to see what God can do in the midst of all of that. But nonetheless, you go in these homes, you go in these centers, and there's these bodies. That's what this man was. For 38 years, he was this body that could not do what his soul wanted it to do. You know, tonight will be a great opportunity to say, thank the Lord that we can have this instrument to be used to wake up each morning and go to work and get things done, to enjoy our families and go to church. We, all of us that are here tonight, we have these bodies that are being used as instruments to our souls. Not for this man. He was burdened down. He was bogged down. He was lame longer than most people were alive, or a lot of people were alive in his day. Can you imagine the perception on life of this lame man? And So I'm a person who walked by, let's just say this, and I'm visiting the lame man, the man that's laying there. Hey, bud, how's it going today? Oh, it's going okay. 38 years, there had to be some point in those 38 years where he came to terms with things. I'm hopeful when I say that he came to terms with things. A lot of people don't. Maybe he did. You doing all right today? I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. How long has it been since you've been here? 38 years. Been this way. And so in my mind's eye, I'm thinking about a conversation I would have with him. And he's sitting there and he says, can I just express some things? My perception of life as a lame man. Oh, I just wish I could stand. You're standing, and you seem like you're enjoying it. I'm sure it'd be so nice to stand. Then the lame man laying on his bed says, oh, can I share this with you? You're standing, and I see others out there running and jumping. I'm sure it'd be so nice to be able to stand and run and jump. This man, he's talking about the very simple things of life and how many of us take those things for granted every day. This man, I'm sure, if he could have spoke back then, would have a perception on life like none other. One commentator said this, and it's kind of a stretch, but he said this. The lame man might have said, thank you, Lord, for 38 years of affliction. In comparison to living a life of sin and pleasure to the flesh, I could have been a robber, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, but instead I'm under your care and discipline to prepare me for something later. Like I said, that's a stretch. Nobody likes to suffer. But the commentator said that maybe this man may have had some moments of thankfulness of God keeping him back from something negative he could have been. It's a stretch. And so we see this man, this impotent man, 38 years he is dealing with his problems and he's laying there. He is just a body with an active soul that cannot do nothing. Now, I want you to notice that's verse number 5. Look in verse number 6 for just a moment. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Firstly, I want to say that this man was probably the longest patient on the porch. 38 years. Again, ever so often this angel would come down and stir the waters. We don't know how often, but ever so often, a certain season, let's just say quarterly, spring, summer, fall, winter. And he would watch people go to the water, and he would hear the shouting, he would hear the singing. They were made whole, but here's this man, 38 years, the longest patient on the porch. Now, Jesus singles out the most hurting, the longest waiting, and most diseased. He singles him out, and I want you to notice in verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. So Jesus knew that he was that way for a long time, 38 years, 38 long years. And can I say that if he knew that this man had been in this condition for that long, certainly he had seen his struggles and efforts trying to get down to that pool to be made whole. Tonight, the takeaway from that thought there is simply this, is that Jesus knows our efforts. Jesus knows our efforts. Jesus sees us as we work in labor. This lame man could not walk to the pool. He had to army crawl. Jesus sees it in your life when you wish you had legs spiritually to run. And like David said one time, I leaped over a wall I ran through a troop. You tonight, whoever you are, may be at a place where you wish that the Lord would just give you wings to fly, legs to run, but you're army crawling. And Jesus sees those efforts. He knows where your heart's at. He knows you want victory in your life. He knows you want to excel spiritually. He sees it this morning, this evening. He sees those efforts. He saw this man for 38 years, and if he knew he was that way for 38 years, he must have seen his endeavors. I want to say to the spiritually wounded this morning, keep on crawling. Because Jesus sees you. Keep on moving forward. And I've said this before. Sometimes I feel like I'm army crawling. But keep crawling. The Bible talks about that there are seasons where we're running. There's seasons where we're walking. And then when everything else fails, at the end of the day, Ephesians talks about at least be standing. Be standing. I can't help to think about when Lily was little, which wasn't that long ago. We would watch, took her to the movies a couple times, watch that part one, part two of that Disney movie, Sing. There was that gorilla and that little big old gorilla playing that. I'm still standing. I can remember that for anything. I'm still standing. And tonight you may not be able to say that I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm reading chapters a day. I have an hour prayer time. I'm sharing Jesus with everyone. You may not be able to say that now. You may just be crawling. But it doesn't matter if it's a chapter. Make it a word or a verse. Doesn't matter if it's an hour in prayer. Make it an utterance under your breath as you're walking down the hallway to class or your job. Army crawl till you can get to a place of standing. And when you're standing, then you can get to a place of walking. And then when you're walking, then you can get to a place of running. Sometimes we have to take it in segments, don't we? There's times where if I allow myself, I can get overwhelmed at some of the obstacles. And so I feel like the Lord has condensed me as a believer, as a Christian, as a son of His. In my 20-year experience, He has condensed me to day by day. And that's where we need to be, isn't it? Day by day. Paul says, I die daily. It's one day at a time. The Bible talks about and says, teach us, Lord, to number our days. Apply wisdom. It's a day by day walk. And so tonight we see that the Lord, He saw this man lie. In verse number 6. Now, this is the question I've been wanting to get to. He says, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? My first takeaway from that is, why even ask? Why? Well, it's a strange question. This man is laying here 38 years looking up at the sun and the clouds at night, the stars. Jesus walks by. Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus could have just made him whole, or he could have done it in some other wordage. But he says, wilt thou be made whole? But it's really not a strange question. It's not a strange question when you really think about it, because some on those porches, some in those areas, in those days, and even the day and time we live in, some use their crippleness for gain. Alms, huh? Alms. Remember the man sat at the gate called Beautiful? Alms. I mean, no doubt the man needed money. But I wonder, was it his job? Alms. Alms. You got any money? Jesus asked this man, wilt thou be made whole? And in the beginning, it was a strange question to me. But then as I got to look at it, it's really not. Jesus wanted to know, was this man done with where he was at? And we can apply that to our lives spiritually. Are we done with where we're at and ready to walk for the Lord? Are we done? Wilt thou be made whole? Some used their crippleness in those days for gain. Some used their crippleness in those days for idleness. Well, I can't get up and go to work today because, you know, I'm crippled. I'm not knocking anybody that's crippled, but what I'm saying is some use that for an excuse not to do anything. They would rather sit at home and draw a paycheck than Jesus show up at their door. Wilt thou be made whole? I'll touch you right now and make you whole, and you go right to work. It's okay, Lord. And y'all know I'm telling the truth. Some in those days, they used their crippleness for idleness, and some just didn't want to be made whole. Some were not done with their situation, whether they were making money off of it, whether they were receiving money or special love or attention is what they were after. They were idle. I don't know. They were not done with it. They did not want to be made whole. The question still is for our day and time, spiritually speaking, those who are lost, those who are wounded, who are saved but wounded spiritually. The Lord says in His Word that He's our helper, He's our Savior. The question is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be saved? And the honest reply to that is, there are a lot of people out there who are not done with being lost. They love their drinking. They love their smoking. Listen, I say that a lot. And I refer to drugs and alcohol a lot because that was my story. And my brother got saved, and for 2 years I wasn't done. I still drugged. I still drank. I still stayed out all night. One time I made the news, believe it or not. There was a shooting at a nightclub, and guess who was interviewed? I wanted my 5 minutes of fame. And so I finally made it home the next day from Decatur, walking down middle of Wanda Circle. There my grandma was and my mom on the front porch. That was a Saturday night. It was a Sunday morning. They both stood up, and I knew I was in trouble. Boy, where have you been? Where have you been, young man? And I'm talking about almost 20 years old talking to me like that, and rightfully so. We seen you on the news. There was a shooting. You said somebody got shot right beside you. They did. They did. I wasn't through. That revved me up. I wanted to go back and get blitzed and dodge bullets. You see, somebody will not get saved unless they are done. That's why it's so important to preach the Word and pray to God that He'll use the Word to stir their hearts, and so that they might, by through faith and by grace, say yes to Jesus and get saved. So we see that really the question isn't strange. Jesus is so smart, isn't He? That's such an understatement to even say. I don't even know how to describe His intellect. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, everywhere, knows all things, has all power. That's not even scratching the surface about our Lord. He walked up to this man and said, will you be made whole? Are you done laying on your mat for 38 years? Are you done seeing everyone celebrate but yourself? You can celebrate today, mister. Will you be made whole? And so we see in verse 6 this question. Jesus saw him lie and knew he'd been there a long time. Wilt thou be made whole? Is the question. Now, let me say this. There would be no problems from man in this world if everybody was willing to be made whole. If everybody was willing to come to the cross of the Lord Jesus, there would be no problems in our world. We wouldn't turn the news on every day and hear about some young person getting killed. How long has it not been since we've turned the TV on in the morning and seen that another young person has been shot and killed in Atlanta? It's not just the middle-aged or older people exchanging gunfire. It is teenagers. And there's even been a time or two where it's been toddlers getting a hold of mama and daddy's gun. And so if everybody was willing to be made whole, if everybody was willing to come to the cross, if believers were willing to lean on Him, our world wouldn't have any problems in it. The blessing is Jesus is continually extending mercy and grace to those who are not willing to be made whole, but He knows one day they will be willing. So please keep in mind this evening that we're talking about primarily spiritually being made whole. Made whole spiritually by salvation. Made whole spiritually by allowing God to deal with our burdens. God does heal physically for some. Others, He doesn't, but He always has a reason for both. Now, we're going to wrap it up here in just a moment with verse number 7 through 9. Using primarily one thought. Verse number 7, he says, verse 6, will thou be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The impotent man's reply was, Lord, or not Lord at this point, not really sure his recognition of the Savior talking with him at this point, but nonetheless he says, in essence, I want to be made whole, and I've tried. And I've tried, and I've tried. How many people that you talk to, you talk to them about salvation? Oh, I've tried to do right. I ain't what I'm asking. Has there ever been a time and place where you've been born again, saved, except Jesus as your Savior? Well, I ask God to save me every day. You're missing it, man. You're missing it. You ask somebody about salvation. Oh, I've tried, and you know, I tried to do good, and all the rest of it. This man here says, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, mister, I've tried to be made whole. I've tried, I've crawled and tried to the best of my ability, and still I'm not whole. We see that he implies that he's tried. So many people try and try and try. They turn over a new leaf. Those that are saved, they keep trying in the power of their flesh. They try, they try, they try until they get to that place of they're done trying and they lean on the Lord. Those who haven't trusted Him for salvation, they try and they try and they try. Like me, I tried to work a job down at Iron House Fitness in Smyrna, Georgia. After my brother got saved, I thought that would do it for me. Didn't work. I tried, and for a while I stopped a little bit. The drugs before I got saved, after I got saved, completely stopped. But I tried. I thought that would do it. Stop doing this and stop doing that. That didn't do it. I needed Jesus is what I needed. And the moment that I accepted Him, He called out to me. And I accepted Him. I said yes to Jesus. I said, I do. My life totally changed, and it's continually changing. So this man said, I tried. But we also see in verse number 7, not only he tried, but he is saying, I need a friend to help me. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the waters troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Do you want to be made whole? I've tried. I have no man to help me. I need help. I need help. And so what we see, a spiritual connection was made. We have someone who has tried and tried and tried. Says he has no one to bring him there. here is this person asking him, do you want to be made whole? He needed a friend. Maybe in the beginning he was thinking, well, here's a friend to take me to the pool. Well, he's in trouble if the angel ain't stirring the waters. And so, nonetheless, a spiritual connection was made. There was only a decision between him and his cure. Notice verse number 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Verse number 8, rise, take up thy bed and walk. What we have here is the divine word being the vehicle to the power of God. Rise up, rise, take up thy bed and walk. The word of God, the divine word of God, deity speaking, that spoke this world into existence and planted every tree and poured the water into the spaces we now call the ocean, that from the dust of the ground formed man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And now the divine man speaks the divine word. He's deity speaks the divine word, and there's power in that word. He said, rise up. He said, rise, take up that bed and walk. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Judas had, for 30 pieces of silver, told on Jesus, told the people, the leaders where Jesus was. They came to arrest him. Jesus spoke, and the men fell on their faces. The power of his word. This power, when Jesus spoke it, the end result was healing. But I will say, in verse number 9, that at some point this man mentally had to make up his mind if he was going to attempt to get up or not. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed. So Jesus says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now it was his responsibility to decide to even try through faith, by grace, even try to get up and walk. Because it was the divine, powerful word of God, because it was deity speaking, he tried and he got up and he walked. Now, I see also a picture of salvation here, that when the gospel is preached, there's enough power to wipe away every sin a sinner could ever commit, past, present, and future. There is power in the gospel to heal people spiritually. There is power, again, to wash away all sin. There's power to save. There's power in the name of Jesus. But also believe in the responsibility of man. That man has to say yes to it. Man has to grab it and say yes. The angel would come down and trouble the waters, but it was up to the cripple to get to the waters. Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? He was ripe. He was ready. A spiritual connection was made when he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He was made whole, but at some point he decided to try it again under the authority of the words that he just heard. He got up and he walked. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus is preached, this powerful living book, word of God is preached, there's the potential for the Lord to change a life, to save a soul. And it's up to the person hearing to make a conscious decision through faith, by grace, to accept. Now, the one hearing may not know it's through grace, by faith, through grace. You know what I'm saying? It's been a long day. They may not realize that, but that's how it is. We hear the word. And it's through faith, by grace, that we're saved. And for those that are saved and you need some help in your life, it's the same principle. What does he say in Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. He talks about, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. In my ways, you'll find rest. There's the rest of salvation, but there's the rest of service. There's the rest of service. In conclusion, tonight, we see that this man was made whole. The Lord asked him. And the question I will give to you tonight, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, will you be made whole? You say, well, now, Brother Justin, I'm saved. Well, you don't have any other struggles in your life? Those watching on Facebook, do you? You say, I'm saved. You're preaching to the choir. Do you not have family problems? Is there not a burden that's too big for you that you've been carrying, and it's time to commit that, roll it on the Lord? Jesus wants to help. He sees us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to take our cares. He wants to take our burdens upon Him. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for the liberty tonight. We thank You, God, for the time of study in this particular story. I pray that there's someone here. We know some came this morning, and we thank God for that, but maybe there's some tonight that would like to come. Maybe something was said that they needed to hear. Let tonight be the night of refreshment, rededication, renouncing the flesh, renouncing the burdens, casting them on You. Whatever the need is, do work. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to